The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the dominion of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the dominion of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please join me in prayer. Eternal God, hope of all who trust in you, in Christ, you weep with those who mourn, even as you cry out in triumph over the grave. Unbind us from sin, release us from captivity, and with Lazarus, raise us from the death to life, so that we may join the great crowds of saints who forever sing praise to your holy name, through Christ Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Today is just 2 days before the elections. And I know what you feel. All of you, I know what you feel. And I can just imagine how you feel. Some are so anxious, some they are curious, some they are angry, all sorts of feelings that you might have. But this morning, I want just to say, calm down. Calm down. God is in control. Calm down and let's join together in hope and in prayer. Today, I am giving this sermon and I'm influenced by the Black theologians and the liberation theologians. So my sermon today will focus on the poor. And I will try to coin the first gospel and the third gospel, Matthew and Luke, on the phrase, "Blessed are the poor." For Matthew says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." But Luke focuses, "Blessed are the poor." So we will see what that means. Having lived in Zimbabwe for almost my entire life and traveling in some other parts of Africa, visiting the ghettos outside the cities, watched the poorest of the poor working menial jobs to earn their living. Having watched the youths learn trade skills, and watching old men and old women selling their goods at the markets. I know that people can find honest joy living in midst of enormous poverty and hunger. A visit to other places around the globe also reinforces this conviction that Christians can find joy even in their poverty and hunger. In fact, such Christians can actually radiate joy that is often incomprehensible to the middle-class Americans. The proclamation of the kingdom begins with the promise made to the poor in spirit and ends with the gift of the kingdom of those who come to aid of the material poor. The disciples are said to be blessed or happy because they give their life by giving food to the hungry and a drink to the thirsty, by clothing the naked, visiting prisoners, or in other words, by concrete actions. In this way, they proclaim the kingdom and will enter it. And we remember in the James letter, he refers the law of the kingdom. But all these considerations enable me now to establish a fruitful relation between Matthew and Luke. The Beatitudes of the third evangelist emphasize the gratuitous character of the love shown by God, who has got a preferential treatment of love for those who are materially poor. But the Beatitudes in Matthew complement those in Luke by bringing out the ethical demands that flow from the loving initiative taken by God. So the difference between the two evangelists is that one of the emphasis, and both aspects present in each version of the Beatitudes. Their approaches are complementary. Matthew here, therefore, is saying, or rather, Matthew is not spiritualizing this text in the Beatitudes. Rather, Matthew, I want to coin this word. I'm bringing a new word today, and you can write, because this is a new word from me, disciple-sizing this text. And in Matthew's perspective, that proves, and especially a demand. So the followers of Jesus are those who translate the grace that they received, a grace that makes them witness to the kingdom of life, into the works done for the neighbor, and especially for the poor. The disciples are those who work entirely in solidarity, even at the material level, with those whom the Lord has a preferential love, that is the poor. That is why they declare blessed, and it is suited in the entrance of the kingdom that has been prepared for the foundation of the world. Now, our text this morning refers to the poor or poverty, and it brings to the discussion of a cultural and societal element. And this is what I want to emphasize. Stated most badly, poor implies not only scant in economic resources, that is little money or land, but has a decidedly cultural component as well. So someone who is poor is a person reduced to begging, Someone who is destitute of all resources, who lacks sufficiency and most other things, such as social standing, that person will be referred as poor. Someone who had lost many or all of his family and social ties. So if poor and poverty are not only simply or primarily defined in economic terms, let us ask about the cultural and the social meaning of poverty. So there are three things that we want to look at this morning. Number one, it refers to the honor, or it's defined in relation to honor and shame. And these are closely related to wealth and loss of wealth, respectively. The second, when a family lost the wealth, its status and honor are threatened. And third, the loss of wealth translated into the lower status, which means loss of honor entirely. Now let's begin to unpack these three things. Honor is the value of a person in his or her own eyes, but also in the eyes of the society. Honor then has to do with one's public standing, or rather the honor is displayed by the clothing in the public, which signals the status and wealth. So everyone in the city could see the symbols of honor. It could be gold necklace, elegant clothing, and is proud in this city. So this renewed honor of, you remember, I want to refer now to the prodigal son text that you know. We see the renewed honor of the prodigal son is symbolized by the clothing his father allows to wear. You remember the father will say, bring the best robe, a ring on his finger, and the shoes on his feet. So his honor was being brought back. So besides the clothing, elites claimed honor through the display of their table setting and the manner in which they dined. Again, I want you to refer you to John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana. So wedding feasts, for example, were excellent times for families to put on a public display of whatever wealth they had. Like I said, clothing, coverlets, eating, utensils, music, food, and the like. So you remember the insufficiency of wine at a wedding feast would bring incalculable shame of a family. So the poor in terms of the Semitic usage means indeed not only those who are lacking money, but more comprehensively, the oppressed, the miserable, the dependents, and the humiliated. So all the community members include those who, with considerable material wealth, are to live humbly and simply before God with other human beings. And this is where it is important to us to pay attention to this text today. So this was not so easy, and it was very tricky, especially in the Roman urban society, where people were meticulously conscious about social status and where the rich ostentatiously displayed their wealth, showing open contempt for the poor and their social inferiors. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, sayings are carefully organized to model for the disciples then and even today how they are to live together as a wholesome community. and whose identity is rooted in God's graciousness. So in a time when we are thoughtful, people should be seriously begin to think about what they do in the community with those that are poor. And this morning, I just want to refer in our society, which is highly fractured and polarized. And this is where the church is called back to its roots, to help those who live in the trenches. And I want us to be honest, my brothers and sisters, that the poor and those who are poverty, who are the poor and who are hungry and who are oppressed, it's a reality. They are all over the world. And their conditions is terrible. And here we are called as a church, as a Christian community, to do something, because their situation is terribly shocking. So you and me, we have got a duty to look for those who are poor. So the Beatitudes this morning are a proclamation of Jesus' central message. The kingdom of God is at hand. Hence, they have in the first instance a theological character of who God is. And secondly, it has got an anthropological character. That is, it emphasizes the importance of the spiritual dispositions in those who hear the word, you and me this morning. So these two aspects are not opposed, like I said, but they are complementary. But the theological aspect, which is very important this morning, is the emphasis of God's goodness towards the poor, and it is very primary. Last night, I tried to share this text, and I said to Fiki, how do you understand this text? And let's look at Luke. And she was saying, no, Jesus was referring to the poor in spirit. And I said, oh yes, you are right. But let's understand something here. It's not in contrast in each other, these two. But they are bringing the primacy of the poor. And this is where I want to draw attention as a church. What are we doing? What is the church doing? What is the response of the church in the midst of those that are poor? So to assert the proper and the original message of the Beatitudes refers first all to the material poor. And this is according to the Black and the Liberation theologians. And it is not a humanization or politicization of their meaning, but it is the recognition of God, that God is God and that God loves the poor. And one of the questions is, so do we need to be poor so that we become blessed? That's not the point. Because the poor, they are in those conditions because of certain people. They are oppressed. In a capitalistic society, they are oppressed. Sometimes because they are black, sometimes because they are women, sometimes they come from the minority groups or classes. That's why their condition is of such manner. And it is for us today to pay attention to those people. For God loves the poor with all the freedom and the gratuity, and God does not do so because they are good or better than others, but because they are poor. And that is, they are afflicted, they are hungry. And this situation is a slap in the face of God's sovereignty. And God is God, the Goel, God, the Redeemer, God, the Savior. And it is God who walks side by side with those who are poor. And this is where Like I said, the liberation theologians come in. The church is a church that walks side by side with the poor. And the definition of God is a God who walks by these who are poor and the oppressed. And the Goel, the savior, the redeemer, is the defender of the poor and the marginalized. He is the avenger of the lowly. So to be sure, blessedness of the poor is constituted by the fact that God of the Bible is God of justice and hence a God of the poor. Now, the question is, what about the spiritual poverty? But I want to say this morning, again, this text is referring to the spirituality of poverty, which is the spiritual like childlikeness. And this is a condition in that we are able to be like children in a low space. And then we are able to have the revelation of the kingdom. When we reduced ourselves to the level of those that are poor, to the level of a childlike behavior or attitude, we are able to see the kingdom. And at the same time, it remains clear that if we forget that the Beatitudes are talking about the material poor and therefore are talking about God, we will not understand what they tell us about the spiritual poor, this poor in spirit. So here, the disciples' life has to run in the course of the gratuitousness and a demand, the inverse of the wish of the witness of the mission. And in this version of Matthew's Beatitudes, it emphasizes the need for a behavior oriented to do something to others. And this is a requirement that flows from the gift of the kingdom. So in other words, when Jesus took his disciples on top of the mountain, he focuses on the new law. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor, the blessed are the merciful. This is a new law altogether. So when you do this, you experience the kingdom. It's not about the moral issues of the law, the commandments. Rather now today, this morning, we see the second Exodus. We see the second Sinai event to the disciples, where now Jesus is introducing new laws, how they should do to the poor. The new laws about being meek, humble, and when they do that, they will have the kingdom. Nothing makes greater demands for solidarity with others than being a gratuitousness of God's love. My dear friends, the Christian community like ours this morning should be a place of blessedness, a place flowing from God's grace and forgiveness, in an arena of purposeful mission, addressing the real needs of other fellow human beings. The poor are in our midst, and it takes us to reach out to them. This is winter time. What do you think with those who are sleeping in the cold in our communities? This is the time of Thanksgiving. What do you think about those who live in abject poverty around the world? It's a call to us as a Christian community to pay attention and to respond to the needs of our fellow brothers and sisters. As I conclude, my dear friends, to enter the kingdom, you must put yourself at the bottom. As an outsider, relinquishing all claims of self-reliance, self-security, and self-righteousness before God. And in the kingdom, we start with our brokenness. We are all broken by virtue of being born into a broken world. We are just but a bunch of sinners who found a merciful God. who died on the cross and rose again, so that we might begin to experience the wholeness. And this morning, I'm calling you, empty yourself so that God can come in and you will go and serve the poor. Amen.